me just tell you a testimony of an experience that I had when I was ministering in the nation of Vanuatu. I went there, and if you know, when you go to the islands, everything changes. It goes by island time. So you go with an itinerary, and it's all planned out for you. And I'm only young. I'm in my 20s. I think I've saved up all my money. I didn't have a lot of money in those days, but I'd save up my money. I'd pay for my trip. I'd go to Vanuatu usually for 2 months, and there'd be an itinerary arranged. But because everything happens by island time, or coconut time, as they say, because you don't know when the coconuts are going to fall off the tree, my itinerary keeps changing. And I'm getting more and more frustrated because I'm sitting there having a holiday. I went to preach. I'm sitting there having a holiday. And finally, I get two meetings. And the first meeting went pretty good, and people were lying all over the place, and they actually had to drag people out of the meeting venue so that they could eventually lock up. So that was okay. And then the second meeting, I preached about Spirit-empowered prayer, and I let Holy Spirit begin to move in the meeting, and then I picked out 7 people, and I got them to come up the front, and I just picked 7 people, not because I was being religious with the number. They looked like they were really open. And so I got them to stand up the front, and I was teaching people to open up to Holy Spirit in their living room, because He's everywhere. And so you can take Him home with you. You can put your hands up in the living room or your bedroom and say, "Holy Spirit, touch me," and He will. So I was trying to teach them this. So I said, "Okay, guys, I want you to be real serious. Just want your hands down by your side. Just smile, look happy. You know, we're just nice little Christians. And then we're going to all together take one step forward, lift our hands and say, 'Holy Spirit, consume me.' And we're just going to see what Holy Spirit wants to do." So I did that. They took a step forward, lifted their hands, and Holy Spirit came on them. And that was great. They began to get touched. And so then usually what I do is I say, "Okay, guys," when they're kind of already slightly crazy drunk, I say, "Okay, guys, I just want you to be normal now." Because I'm trying to teach people, you can actually choose whether you open up or yield or how you do it. And so I said, "I just want you to be normal now." And we take a step back again. "I want you to do it again." And so they find it hard to be normal, of course, but they try their hardest. So then we take a step forward, lift your hands, "Holy Spirit, consume me." The next thing, Holy Spirit hits the 7 of them with this intense intercession. They hit the ground. I think half of them hit the ground. And honestly, they're wailing an intercession. I'm thinking, "Okay, God, I like it when you illustrate my sermons. That's really good." Well, that was fine. But one of those 7 was the leader of the children's ministry. And the children were just preparing for this massive crusade in the capital city of Vila. This is Vanuatu. So I'm in the north of the nation. It's got 83 islands. And so I'm in the north of the nation, and they're going to go to the south of the nation to the capital, Port Vila, to hold this crusade. And these children have been preparing these dances for this crusade. There's about 20 of them. They're aged between 9 and 13. They've been really working hard on these dances, and they're really, really good. I mean, they're anointed. Whenever you do meetings in Vanuatu, everybody from every church joins in with an item. It's long, it's laborious. I go for a walk and come back an hour or two later. But anyhow, these children, when they did their dances, the anointing came. It was different than everybody else's items. They were so very, very anointed. Let me go back to the north of Vanuatu in my story. We haven't gone to the south yet. And so Joy is the leader of the children's ministry. And so the children come to the house where I'm staying to practice their dances. And after they've practiced them, she gets them to lift their hands just like the night before in the meeting, and Holy Spirit to touch them. Well, these children are so hungry. And I was just sitting there. They're in the living room. I'm just sitting there on a chair watching all of this, just kind of with my mouth open like, "This is incredible." And they're having visions of Jesus, and just every sort of imaginable thing is happening, and that's fine. And so every time the children came, they would always open up to Holy Spirit. Well, it was only a few days later, they were in the living room once again, and the anointing was coming, and God spoke to one of the girls. Pauline was her name. She was a lovely girl. And God said to her, "The fire is in the middle of the room. Everybody go to the middle of the room. I'm going to burn out your sins." Well, they go to the middle of the room, and this fire comes on them. Like, they feel like they're literally on fire. I'm used to Holy Spirit meetings. I'm used to Jill Austin type meetings and everything else, but I saw something I'd never seen before. These kids are rubbing their arms and their faces and their legs because they're trying to rub the fire. They actually feel like they're on fire and they're trying to rub the fire off because God, just like Isaiah 6, you know, the coal of fire, put a coal of fire on his lips and it cleansed him from his iniquity. Don't ask me the theology of it. I just know it happened and it's in the Bible and I like it. Hallelujah. And so what was even better was every time these kids came for the next several weeks, every time they open up to the anointing, the same thing would happen. The same manifestation would happen. So that's all great. We get on a plane. We actually have to, they only have 20 set of planes. So we have to take two planes to all, because there's intercessors and helpers to all go down to the south to do these meetings. Actually, I wasn't supposed to go. I was a little grumpy because my itinerary was all smashed up and I was hardly doing anything. And so finally the leader of the ministry says to me, Nathan, we'd like you to go down south with these children and we'll give you some meetings in the morning. The crusades are at night, but you get to do meetings in the morning with the children and with people from the capital city, Port Vila. And so I reluctantly agreed to go. So we all get on the plane with a cow. We took a cow with us as well. A cow was donated for the cause. The cow had been killed and butchered. You know, we have to eat while we're there. This is island style, okay? So us and the cow all go an hour and a half on the 20-seater plane down to Port Vila. And we're in a government department. I think it was the Department of Agriculture. They've hired this dormitory that's connected to some government buildings. And it's got a hallway in it and doors off every side. And each room has maybe two or three beds in it. And I've got to describe it for where I'm going, okay? And so, I don't know, maybe it's the length of this room a bit longer. And then there's a wall. And then there's another section on the other side of the wall, which has about, it's just short, just has about four bedrooms in it. I was in the bit with the four bedrooms, okay? The wall becomes important in a minute, okay? And so all of the children and the intercessors are staying in this larger part of the building. Maybe they wanted to give me some quiet, so I'm over on the other side. I've got to go out of the building and go round. The two parts of the building don't connect, even though they're the same building. Am I making sense? Okay. So we get in there into our accommodation and everything, and we get into the crusades, and the meetings are powerful, and I'm doing the morning meetings. But this was the problem. Because it's a government department, the workers come to work at 8 o'clock, and our meetings are noisy. And so they're actually in the kitchen. They're in the dining room kitchen area. We're having these meetings. And it turns out that because of it's a government department, the leader of the ministry doesn't want to, you know, it's been a favor that they've been given this, so he doesn't want to disturb the workers or everything else. So long and short of it is this, my meetings get moved from the kitchen into this hallway in the dormitory. It's just a hallway with doors going off it. And they get moved from morning to 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, you've got to understand, we go to a crusade at night, and the crusade goes for hours because every church in Port Vila has an item to do, a dance to do, and they're all joining together, and the crusade goes for hours. And then eventually Pastor Reynold gets up, who I'm working with, and he preaches his message, and Holy Spirit breaks loose, and you know, we have the fun after all the torment. Like I say, I just go for a walk. So in this particular meeting, God visits one of the boys, one of the dancers, and he says to him, I'm going to meet you in your room tomorrow. Of course, we're staying in this government department dormitory. That was our room at the time. I'm going to meet you in your room tomorrow. So that's fine. We all go home, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning when we get home. Every night when we get home, these are children, 9 to 13. Every night when we get home, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're high. We've been in the anointing. We're drunk. We're laughing. We're carrying on. We're acting like idiots, you know, and we've only got 4 hours to go to sleep because at 5 o'clock in the morning, I don't know how I agreed to this. Anyhow, I had no option. I'm not a morning person, but God has a sense of humor. So here I am. I get up this morning. I look at my watch. It's 5 o'clock. I can hear the kids. They're already lining the hallway. It's just a hallway, a narrow hallway. But I arrive in the hallway to find them all sitting backs up against the wall on both sides of the hallway. And that is my meeting. That's what I've come all the way to New Zealand, to Vanuatu, to do. Nobody came from Port Vila. It was just the kids. It was just the kids and a few intercessors and organizers and helpers. That's all it was. So anyhow, I do my little message. It was about seeking the face of God. And that was fine. Then I played a visitation on a tape. And I'll tell you about that in a minute as well. And so I'm just laying hands on them. And there was a really, really good anointing there. And next thing, the face of Jesus appears on the wall. This is the wall at the end of the dormitory. And it's not multicolor or anything. It's just in light and shade. But it's distinctly, it's clearly Jesus' face. And when the face, I didn't see it. I'm praying for people. The kids saw it. When they saw it, it was like the anointing level went whoomp, like this. I'd love to see this on video. Maybe in heaven we can pull this video out and have a look at it. Next thing, we're just drawn. It's like a magnet. We're just drawn, all of us, toward this wall where this face of Jesus is. For the next, I don't know, because time disappeared. For the next hour or two, we absolutely flailed ourselves against a wall. Can you believe it? I did this too. I'm not embarrassed to say. I did this too. We flailed ourselves against the wall. We hugged the wall. We kissed the wall. We poured out such affection on Jesus. Looking on from the outside, all you would have seen is a bunch of crazy people loving up on a wall. But we were all in it together. There was something about it, you know, and the people above you, their tears and snot were falling down on the people below. But we were all in it together. I was kind of down low, obviously, you could tell. I remember at one point, I had some spontaneous deliverance in the face of Jesus. You know when demons come out, and sometimes you're laughing, and then you're coughing, and I always feel them leave. I always feel them leave. I don't know, everybody's different. I feel them leave. Well, anyhow, I'm in the face of Jesus here, and next thing, I'm coughing. But sometimes when a demon comes out, this only very occasionally happens to me, you can almost feel it coming out, roots and all. You almost feel like a pulled out from something so deep inside of you. Well, next thing, three demons come out, and each one of them, it's like, whoa, this thing gets pulled out from deep inside of me. Well, here's the beauty of it. The face of Jesus didn't leave. And we only had another couple of nights there, but every time we went to the meetings and we'd come back, the first thing we'd all do, kids and adults, is we'd run back into our dormitory to see if the face of Jesus was still there. And we could have revival 24/7 anytime that we wanted to. Here's the bit that was a little hard. What I didn't know was Pastor Reynold had gone out and hired a minibus to show us around Port Vila that morning, the morning that the face of Jesus appeared. And I didn't know he was gone. So he's gone to pick up this bus, and the bus has to be returned by the end of the day. Well, he gets back to find us hugging a wall. And and he walks into the dormitory hallway, and he said the whole thing was filled with a cloud. Well, we were completely ignorant of the cloud. We were in the face of Jesus. Nothing else mattered but that face of Jesus. It wasn't an idol. It wasn't an image we were worshiping. It was an anointing of intimacy in the face of Jesus that we were just loving on him. Couldn't even see any cloud. He said the room was thick with a cloud. So he comes in and realizes he's got a problem because he needs us on the bus. And so so that's all right. He's wise enough and anointed enough to know that he's not going to get us on the bus. So he kind of joined in. It's hard not to join in because we were all like, we had made the wall our idol, if you know what I mean. I mean, everything was wall focused, face of Jesus focused. You know, when you have an idol, you draw everybody into it, right? How do you resist 20 passionate kids and adults all weeping and snotting themselves against a wall? I mean, it's beautiful. God is beautiful. All his ways are beautiful. We will ponder his ways for all of eternity. God, why was always snot and tears involved in everything you did, God? I don't get it. But anyhow, it's beautiful. So anyhow, it wasn't an idol, but it was an encounter with God. And we were so focused on it. If you were there, you would have been straight drawn into that experience. Jesus is magnetic. He's just like, whoo. You see the face of Jesus, it's like everything else vanishes and you are fascinated. And so he, of course, gets drawn into the whole proceedings. And so then slowly things settle down and we begin to talk, and the intercessors begin to say, oh, actually, we saw this happening the night before. And then we find out that Humphreys, the young boy, Jesus had spoken to him and said, I'm going to meet you in the bedroom. We're getting more and more amazed. We're getting like, whoa, 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 whoa. It wasn't just one miracle. Then we hear about the whole setup and how it happened, and we're going, whoa, this is quite something. I still don't know that there's a bus waiting for us, because now we're just talking. I think they'd actually got the kids onto the bus by this stage. I didn't know that, because we're just sitting around talking. I go back into the hallway, because we'd gone outside just to talk a little bit. I gone back in, and I'm looking at the face of Jesus, and I'm wow, 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 wow. I hit the deck, I'm on my face, and no joke, the fire begins to come on me. The fire is riveting down my hands. It's that fire that you know it started to do something, and in a minute it's going to consume your whole body if you just stay yielding to it. The fire starts to come down on me. The two guys come in, pick me up off the floor. I couldn't believe it. They pick me up off the floor, and they drag me to the bus. It was terrible. I'm just about to go to heaven, guys. No questions asked, nothing. They weren't rough or anything. Maybe I should be a bit more aggressive. I'm having experience. Mine! Leave me alone! Forget the bus. Anyhow, this is the funny part. I get on the bus. We're all under the anointing. I mean, we're gripped. One person starts crying. Next minute, we're all on the bus. Eventually, we kind of settled down and we endured the tour. It was all right. Because for these kids to go from the north of Vanuatu to the south, it's often their very first trip away from their island. It's a big thing, and they're coming to the capital. It's only 40,000 people, but to them, it's their capital. And so we're getting driven around and looking at all these things. I bet you know what happened when we got back. We ran to see if our precious face of Jesus was still on that wall. And it was. And we reveled in the moment. Unfortunately, it was only another 2 nights, and then we had to go. Hallelujah. Who would like to have been there?